Well, good evening, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and it was very interesting getting on the air tonight. I got to tell you about this, and Nikki Lopresti is with us. You're listening to Akashic Wisdom tonight, so let me just tell you how the ethers are happening out there. So I'm talking to Alyssa, who is the BBS radio station producer tonight, and so I give her Nikki's number, and somehow she connects me to another host by the name of Barry Lesser, and I've never met Barry Lesser, and before he has evidently a new show. And it should be a very interesting show, but again, not familiar with it. But here he is. He's in California, and my guest is in Cleveland, so am I. And this nice man is on the other end of the phone, and then we keep trying to call Nikki, and can't get a hold of Nikki, and the reason why is because I transposed some numbers. So it's been very interesting, so I apologize for making you wait tonight. But you are listening to Akashic Wisdom, and we are a program that talks about the Akashic Records, and we help you understand what to expand upon in your life. You get to call in questions about your life. You can email me questions about your life or things that you would like more information on. Once or twice a year, we do a program on What's My Purpose, and this would not be the night to do that, but you can certainly call about anything else. And we can talk about that, even global questions, things that are concerning you. And we actually have some email questions already that have been doing that. And if you want to email a question to me, that's just great. But you would need to email it to info@akashicwisdom.com. That's AKASHICWISDOM. Okay, so hi, Nikki. Nikki's with us. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Donna. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. I can hardly hear you, so hopefully you'll help my ears hear you better. So what's up tonight, my friend?
What's up? Well,
what's up? What are we doing tonight? And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the way this works is I open the records of the show before I come on, and so I have my Akashic Records open, which I open consciously. And then what I have found works really well is when people ask me questions. And Nikki is one of my students and friends, and she has usually some very wonderful questions and really primes the pump to get us into the records with some great questions. So that's what that's what we're doing. So when I say what's up with Nikki, she's going to ask some questions, and we're going to go from there. So you're on, kiddo. What are we asking tonight?
Okay, well, let's see. Let's start with a question that came up earlier this week and some other work we were doing. If we could bring forth some information from the records about how does one release identifying with the ego?
Okay, all right. So the question on the board is how does a human being, a personality, no, that's not the right way. How does a human being, say that again?
How does a human being release identifying with their individual ego?
Okay. And what I have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is I have to wait for the Akashic Record Keepers, Masters, Teachers, Loved Ones, and Lords of the Akasha to slow their vibration down and speed mine up, because I don't interpret anything. I tell you exactly what I see, hear, or sometimes feel, and I'll talk slower because things are coming forward, and when I do that. Okay, so well, first of all, one of the issues around ego has to do It's very important to put ego in its place. Ego in and of itself is not a negative or a bad thing. What happens is when the human allows the ego to rule them, based on false wants and expectations and what they're hearing, what they're saying is a sense of security. So, for example, if a person has a sense that material things are going to give them comfort, that's an egotistical or an ego-based want, rather than, and it's not that it's bad, it's just that overshadows everything else in the person's life, it creates, what they're showing me is it creates a variety of layers of heaviness that a person has to go through in order to be able to move into their own spiritual beingness, their own enlightenment. And so the idea here is by looking at, what they're showing me is if you were to lay everything out in front of you that you have, and everything out in front of you that you want, and it's about going through a personal inventory about what makes you actually feel the inner being of self, the most content. So, for example, what they're showing me is that a person can have thousands of dollars, and although that money may make them quote unquote feel secure, because they feel they don't have to worry about anything, what really fulfills them is a flower and a teddy bear that makes them feel loved. Now, does that make sense to you, Nikki?
Right. Well, it's connecting more with really the base of what everybody wants is to feel loved. So.
Right, right. And so the idea here is that the way one can move away from identifying or allowing the ego to rule them is basically it's about allowing the ego to rule rather than the sense of divinity within each person. It's really about really doing a personal inventory about what makes the individual feel the most loved. Not feel the most safe even. It's not even make feel the most secure. It's what in a person's life makes them feel the most loved. So, and ladies, you can call in with questions on that one or comments. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, based on that, if anything that the record keepers would suggest about how can someone who can, you know, thinking that, you know, it's money that's making them happy, but how do they identify with what it is inside them that's making them feel most content and most loved? How do they connect with that?
How do they connect with that identification point?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the interesting thing about, and I don't know who they're talking about, but they're talking about somebody out there in the audience. What they're talking about is an individual who feels he's equating love with power. Now, this is a message for somebody, so I'm just going to say what I'm hearing here, is that when a person identifies with dollars rather than love, like dollars as power, it's They're, I don't know where they're going on this one. when an individual identifies with dollars as power, rather than moving into what really makes them feel loved, then what happens is they get a false sense of security, and then when the dollars go away, they don't have anything left. And the way to identify and the way to shift that so that you can be happy whether you have money or whether you don't have money or whether you, or even if you have people in your life that love you or you don't have people in your life that love you, it has to do with the individual moving into a space of alignment with their own divinity. And the way they do that is to move into a space of total and complete self-acceptance. And then the next question is, so how do you do that? And the way a person moves into a space of total and complete self-acceptance has to do with moving into a place of surrender and it's not giving up faith, it's giving up whatever is stressing a person, giving that up to God, if you will, or to spirit, to the universe. And there, what I'm also hearing is there are a lot of folks out there that are having a hard time trusting themselves, and that's where the block comes from moving, the block comes from feeling that they're unable to find peace. And that's why their ego rules them. I feel like I just went in a circle there. But I know that this is making sense to somebody out there.
Well, it kind of does go in a circle, though, because if you're not identifying in the first place with, you know, what it is you're trying to connect to, then you do keep going around in circles because you're never feeling fulfilled.
Right, exactly. And what the record keepers are saying is the way to feel fulfilled is to be in the present moment without looking and blaming yourself from the past and really moving into and not necessarily looking at the future. Very interesting mention of that. It's really about giving up the need. We talked about this before. The giving up to the need to be right. Something came forward in the records. A question that came forward recently from a client was, and I wrote it down because it was very interesting. And so I really want to just, this speaks to this. And so the question was, how do I get back to being dynamic, motivated, and prosperous? That was a question that was emailed to me. Okay. And so there's a few points. Number one, the record keeper said, give up the belief you can't take care of yourself. Number two, give up the rebellion that has imprisoned you and created a mental attitude of victim that has been crippling. Number three, know as you have chosen and created the above attitudes and beliefs to operate under, you can choose ones that better serve you. So it's really about getting in touch with the beliefs that we hold that imprison us, because those are the ones that we really need to move out of that because we're walking in beliefs that are not our truth.
Mm-hmm.
And give up punishing yourself for all that you feel you haven't done. Just give it up. Like, today's a new day, and that's the next thing they said. Each moment is a new beginning, and each moment is a new choice. And to become very clear about to decide in your heart what you want most in your life right now. And so it's really about not only describing what you really want or deciding what you really want in your life right now, but getting very clear about what action steps you are willing to take to get it. And so that's, I don't know, does that seem to resonate or be a part of the answer to that question? So I just want to throw that out there.
Okay, what was the very first thing that you had said? The very first thing to give up the belief that...
It was give up the belief you can't take care of yourself.
There you go.
The idea that a person is ineffective. You know, human beings walk through life feeling they're ineffective. And what has happened is in so many cases, parents have disempowered their children by trying to step in and fix everything for them. And so what happens is parents want to the best for their kids, but in helping them and like stepping in where it's like every time if a parent catches a teenager or a child all the time before they fall, for example, from a figuratively point of view, the child never learns to make choices that they can feel good about. And so consequently, they walk around with this underlying belief that they can't take care of themselves. And so when a person is operating under the belief that they can't take care of themselves, what happens is a human being if in fact that is a issue for someone, that they feel that they are trapped in that belief system, it's very important to understand that that's part of a soul intention of something to get out of. And it was like, if an issue is presenting in a very strong way in anyone's life, it's really important that the individual look at the issues that are the most poignant within their life, and the repeating issues are the soul's intention of experience to release in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay, good. We have a caller.
Yes, I heard that.
Great. Hi, caller. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
Good. Who is this?
This is Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca. How are you?
Good. And I sent you an email earlier, and I don't know if you...
I got it. Yeah, you sent it to the other address, but I did get it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I just did like a cut and paste off your...
Yeah, we changed emails. So
okay.
Anybody else who's out there wants to send in an email question, they can do that to Akashic Wisdom. It's actually info@akashicwisdom.com. But great. So, okay, so you want me to read your question there, Rebecca?
Yeah, if you like, I just did want to make a comment though on what you guys have been talking about.
Sure.
And what I have found is that people who play victim don't always want to have to grow up. So they kind of want it both ways. And it takes a lot of, responsibility and looking at oneself. And not everyone wants to do that. So they actually get a payoff out of being victim, even though they complain about it. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And,
that's
and
right.
That if they, at least for me, when
say
I became
again?
Aware of this was some of life, not necessarily that I was played victim, but a life lesson that I had chose to grow through, it really took a lot of the value judgment off of it. So anyway,
you cut out for me a minute ago. So what were you saying about victim for you?
Oh, well, yeah, I'm saying not necessarily is the victim a role that I chose, but regarding other things, once I could see that it was something that I chose as a life lesson when I came in to this plane or whatever, it really helped me be able to see what was going on and stop judging myself.
Okay. That's good.
Okay, so anyway, that was my comment on that. I think you guys are right on about what you're talking about.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Thank you. So Rebecca's question is, and I'm going to read the whole email. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. The pattern in my life has to do with money. I am 16 days late with the rent. Auto insurance has expired. 15 days notice on utilities. I owe the IRS 2 years back taxes and will owe for this year because I didn't file state taxes last year, etc. Bounce checks time and time again. I have the money to cover the checks, but go to the bank. Is it the day after they clear or what?
I think, I got one more day. And
I see. So you play dodgems with the checks.
Yeah.
I think I have one more day to deposit the money so they won't bounce. And I bet you get caught on that a little bit.
Yeah,
but because they clear immediately these days. They don't have any float anymore. And then I have applied for jobs, but wholeheartedly. What does that mean?
Some people are just like gung-ho and they're sending out resumes everywhere.
Yeah.
And I just haven't been doing that.
There's a not missing. So I have applied for jobs, but not wholeheartedly. Okay.
Yeah.
My guidance has been to get rid of stuff around the house, which I am doing because I want the money. You've had a yard sale, and I have things to place on eBay, but I've been using excuse not to do it. I applied for a job last week that I really, really want. It's a job that I would pay them to do. It will bring in the money that will get the bills cut up. And so you're asking,
I guess, what is the pattern that's going on that I'm needing to get?
You mean other than rebellion?
Is that what it is? Is rebellion?
Well, take a look at it.
Okay.
How does that feel in your body?
That makes perfect sense. I wonder why I'm rebelling, though.
So the issue here is the question is what is the core issue that you're rebelling against?
Okay.
And so the pattern is, the pattern of rebellion, this is very interesting because what this has, what the record keepers are saying right here is one of the reasons why you are rebelling, especially about having the money and not paying the bills on time, etc.
Yeah.
There's a underlying resentment for having to do it.
Hmm.
I don't know what that's about, but it's almost like the idea is that. I don't want to. The word I'm hearing is entitlement, but this is not a criticism. It's that you're carrying the feeling of being resentful that you have to do that.
Okay, and I did not feel that way before I got married and then went through a divorce.
Right.
Okay.
But this came up after you had the divorce, right?
Yeah.
So take a look at the anger that's still left at him not taking care of you.
Okay, there was some lying going on about his income, so I wasn't able to file for spousal support.
Well, not to mention the fact that you had, what I'm hearing is that whatever was going on with that marriage, the belief system you were operating under was that once you married him, everything would be taken care of and you didn't have to ever have to worry about this again. And the issue here has to do with you being, it's almost like rebelling against having to take care of yourself. It's a repeating thing. But the idea also, it has to do with, it's a rebellion against him. It's almost like, I'll show you. I mean, that has nothing to do with logic, by the way.
No, I get it.
You know, but there's something about, wait a minute, let me see if this right. It's like I'm angry. what they're saying is that they're showing you walking a tight wire here. And the tight wire is, I'm going to show you how much you hurt me, or how much, it's almost like the idea that he, it's the revenge that's trying to prove to him how hurt you are by hurting yourself. This is very strange. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
even though we're not in contact. So,
yeah, no. He doesn't know. He's moved on. He doesn't know how he hurt you.
Yeah.
But there's something about your... It's something about a perpetuating aspect of... It's a perpetuating aspect of rebellion and self-sabotage that actually does... It doesn't put you in the victim stance for somebody else so much as it gets you to an anger stance within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so this anger stance, okay, here it goes. The anger stance is, Rebecca, it's like, this whole belief system that you're operating under is preventing you from stepping into your personal greatness.
Uh-huh.
And by holding this false illusion of rebellion, and there was like operating under this rebellion, you're holding your back from your greatness as if to say,
I'll show you,
yeah.
Yeah. I had that play out a lot in my teens and 20s where.
Right. It's a pattern.
Huh.
And so the pattern, so what the record keepers are saying is that you can choose to shift out of that pattern anytime you want.
And how do I do that?
Well, first of all, it has to do with, what they're saying is in the very beginning, if you really do have the dollars to take care of your bills.
Yeah.
Put them on auto pay so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Well, right now that's not. I understand that, but right now it's gone past that stage of auto pay. So.
Okay, so the idea here is if you don't have the money, it's really about negotiating for the dollar. See, you've put yourself, wow, you've got yourself right in the back, your back, right against the wall here.
Right, oh, I do.
Yeah. So I'm asking, so how can she shift
well,
out
one
of it?
Thing I would
ahead,
like
Jan.
To focus on what I heard Rebecca say is that she just applied for this job that she would really love and that would pay the bills.
Yeah.
But to really focus more on while she's waiting to hear about this job or more, to not be that she wants it because it's from this place of lack for paying for the bills, but connect with the love that you would feel, like why you feel this job would be the perfect job for you.
Right.
And stay with that feeling of how much you would love the job, not that it's going to solve, like, this lack that you're feeling from the money problem.
Exactly, and that's really more about where it comes from. I guess it was just putting in there that it would be something that could also support myself and that I would love to do. So, but that's
right, but what she's saying is connect with the joy of doing it rather than coming from a place of the lack.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's the idea of really moving into the space of feeling what it would feel like to work at this place and feel the joy of it.
Okay.
I did a prosperity consultation with someone the other day, and one of the visuals that came forward was that the individual was to move into joy whenever it came to money.
Okay.
Even if you don't have it.
Right.
It's really about moving into joy and gratefulness and that. And again, that can be a challenge if you don't have it. But that's
right.
Exactly the challenge your soul has created, isn't it?
Right. Right. Well, one of the things that I thought about this job is there's things that I can do to prepare for
yeah.
it. And I was telling people that I now work at this job. And I was thinking about getting up in the morning and getting dressed as if I'm going off to work and doing things that I need to do to teach myself for when I get this job.
Sure, you could do that.
already to be in the mindset, though, that it's something I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
And any of the computer skills I learn, it can be valuable at any other job as well, so.
Well, the other thing is that you can actually do that and continue to apply at other places.
Right, right.
Exactly. You know, or just, do you have a laptop computer?
Yeah.
You take it and have coffee somewhere with it.
Right, right.
Because
okay,
you never
so
know who you're going to network. I got to tell you, one of the things that's coming forward is, if you're not in a networking group in the morning,
yeah,
you should find a networking group.
For a job?
Yeah.
Yeah, that just came about this evening, actually.
Oh, okay.
I signed up for a networking group.
Oh,
so.
Hey, that's good. What I was hearing, that could be very beneficial for you.
Yeah, okay. It put me in that mindset. Okay. But I'll work on releasing the resentment that I have.
Well,
so.
The idea is that it's you know, the other piece is it doesn't have to be difficult.
Okay.
It can be as simple as literally with the visual they're giving me is imagine you have a large garbage bag and you're putting all the emotions that you had during the marriage, with the marriage, with the breakup, whatever issues you had with him,
yeah,
put them all in a garbage bag.
Okay.
You know, and I mean, this is not very honoring, but that's what they're telling me. Set it out for the garbage men to take.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and then how much too to take a look at how you're holding yourself still in judgment of that didn't work out how
right.
you planned it was going to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm very angry about the finances because he was a compulsive spender. So we had a lot of bills leaving the marriage where financially, the way we were bringing in money, we should have had a lot of money saved. So.
And to look at that as a rebellion of, I'm just not going to pay these.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not my responsibility. It's your responsibility. But, you know, the reality is you got to, you know, you have
right.
to make a decision.
Right.
How do you want your life to look and feel?
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That gives me a direction then to go in. So
you're welcome.
Okay. You ladies take care.
All right.
Thank
take
you.
Care. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. So that was kind of real fitting to what we were talking about, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great question. And it's interesting that Rebecca, she actually emailed me that question. That was the one I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't
okay.
actually read it to you, but I said we had email questions. So, you know, the idea here of we play such games with ourselves as humans. We make it way more complicated than it needs to be, you know. That's what I'm getting these days, is that we make it way more complicated than it needs to be. I'm not sure why that is. But why do we make it? I guess that's part of the game, huh?
Well, just what's come up and from other things we've been doing, you know, it's just, I think it is part of the game because, you know, if it was simple, so simple that it was all solved, like today, then it would be done.
Right. Except that there are schools of thought that say it is already done. And we can move into that reality anytime we want to. Right?
Well, it's whatever reality you're wanting to be done with.
yeah, that's right. That's
so
right.
It can, I mean, it is, you know, if it's complicated in one reality, it's find the reality where it's simpler.
That's it. That's it. It's choose the reality where it's simple. That would be the key for everybody, right?
Right.
A simple reality.
Right.
There you go. What's your other questions there, Miss Nikki?
Well, okay, we've been trying to ask this one for a couple weeks now, so let's try, we'll get to that. This came up, a few weeks ago now, so our question, roughly would be, how can you best, for the people that are you know, considering looking at other jobs that they're doing, you know, trying to simplify or get out of whatever, you know, change their current reality,
uh-huh.
but still, how can you best serve your soul's purpose and be in service to others in the present job, in the present work you're doing, and find joy presently, even though you know it's not the ideal situation that you're, you know, what you're ideally wanting, but how can you have acceptance and in where you are right now to best serve your soul's purpose and others?
Okay, that's a great question. And so, well, first, the first issue that's coming forward for all of us to remember is that there is no job that is not spiritual. That's what they're saying. There's no job that is not spiritual, and there is no job that does not serve humanity in some way, shape, or form. And the reason that's important is to understand that, you know, we are all part of the continuum of energy. You know, if you're the pebble in the pond kind of an idea, that we all rely on each other. The same way no one human being makes a decision that doesn't affect all of humanity. There's no way a person can make, it's impossible for one individual to make a decision about their life that doesn't affect, you know, humanity in general. It's just the way this planet has been set up. And so the idea of every job being spiritual is a way of moving into understanding how you're serving yourself and others through that position. So for example, if you're in a job that you really dislike, it would really serve you to really look at the people you're serving, even if it's the person next to you who is a negative son of a gun that doesn't have a nice thing to say. The reality is, the way you serve that person is to hold the energy of light for yourself and truly move into knowing that you are not allowing anyone else to control how you feel about you. So that's one way of looking at that. The other thing is if you're in a position that is clearly not your life's purpose, we as humans need to understand that there is no job that we're doing that's not part of our purpose, because we are in a situation of stepping stone. Each position or each job, whether it's a part-time job, whether it's a full-time job, whether it's a job that we know is clearly not part of our path, or we think it's not part of our path, is still a part of our path, because we are a sum and total of all of our experiences. And the idea of moving into a position or looking for a position and being willing to receive a position has everything to do with moving into a place of surrender that allows a person to be grateful for what they have. So there was a question that was emailed about this lady who has this perfect job that she wants. And she's got it all written down. She reads it every day. And so, but what I'm hearing is every time she reads it, she's coming from a place of not having it. So she's coming from a place of lack rather than coming from a place of having it. But the idea here is one of the reasons she can't get a part-time job in any way, shape, or form is because she's still holding her expectation of perfection rather than an openness to receive. So did that answer your question, Nikki? Does that kind of cover it? Expand on more questions too.
Well, let's see. Part of it, I mean, that's what I was realizing more with this, that it is being grateful for your current position.
Yeah.
Certainly sets the mood for everything. But then for people to realize too that, like, the current position they're in, they, as we said, we all affect everyone. So they have an opportunity to be a mirror to others of their true self.
That's right.
Of whatever they want to project of themselves or whatever they feel is their true self, that they see themselves in this other job, but they can still put that out there where they currently are.
Exactly. Exactly. And the idea here is that if a person walks around angry because they're not feeling they're on their life, they're in their right livelihood, that's not going to bring them to the right livelihood. It's just going to bring them more anger.
Right.
If they come from a place of what they don't have rather than from a place that what they know that they have and the gratitude for it, that the attitude is what makes the total difference. That's very important. It's very important that we take time to move into such deep gratitude, even when we have a hard time finding gratitude. Gratitude shifts everything. I've seen it happen time and time again. You know, there have been a lot of, I'm going to shift for a moment. Do you feel complete with that answer, by the way?
Yes, I'm trying to see if there's something else that was coming up.
Okay, so hold it. Continue to look for that. I want to make a comment.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to share with you that if you want to call in, you know, you can go to the BBS website and take a look at those telephone numbers that are on their website. But in case you're not on the BBS radio website, you're just streaming in, you can call in toll-free in the U.S. at 877-876-5227, or if you're in Canada, you can call toll-free at 888-815-9756, or if you're out of the country, our country code is 01, and you can call in 530-876-3222. But I want to share with you something that came forward this morning that I'm going to be doing. It's on March 27th, and it's a one-day intensive, and it's going to be from 10 to 4. It's going to be here in Cleveland, Ohio, and you don't have to have Akashic Record background. In other words, like you don't have to know how to open your own personal Akashic Records, but the workshop is on prosperity marketing for the holistic practitioner or entrepreneur. And so if you are a holistic person and your business is not a holistic practice, that's okay. But it's the idea of really moving into understanding what your underlying motivation is on what success is and what prosperity is. It's a one-day intensive. And we're also going to be creating action plans that will come forward because you'll be sitting in the energy of the Akasha. And for those people who do know how to open up their own Akashic Records, it's going to be a great opportunity to use that work by opening your own personal Akashic Records and being in the workshop with your records open. But you don't have to know how to open your records to attend. It's a one-day workshop. It's here in Cleveland, Ohio from 10 to 4 on Thursday, March 27th. And space is limited. I'm only going there's only space for 10 people. And the reason why is because I'm going to be giving some individual attention. And we want to be able to keep the group manageable. So if this is of interest to you, give me a call at 216-691-1233. Also want to mention, too, that I have an Akashic Record Level 1 workshop and Level 2 workshop coming up in Louisville, Kentucky, first weekend in April, and a Level 1 and a Level 2 in Cleveland, Ohio, the second week in April. So, again, if that's of interest to you, call me and at 216-691-1233 for the exact date and registration. Your phone call registers you, and I will be happy to give you more information on that. And if you want individual consultations, that's the number to call too. So anyway, Okay, Nikki, you've had some time to think. What's up?
did we have any other? Did you have someone else that had emailed or not?
Yes. Well, that one gal, Andrea. Andrea, and if Andrea would email her current legal name, that'd be great. But Andrea, that's what she was talking about. What she said is, although I have a running list of qualities in a job career written, and I read every day, or just feel, yep, is that you, Andrea?
Yes, it is.
Hey there, I was just reading your question. How do you like that?
Wow, this is amazing.
How you like that? Great. Okay, so let me just continue to read Andrea's question. It says, and I read every day or just feel three times a day. Anytime that I ask an intuitive if the job is in sight, they respond that I need clarity. I'm about to give up. The list contains the very things that I want, but I just don't have a title because it probably doesn't exist. Yes, perhaps I will probably start my own business, but until I can get the job in the interim or get a job in the interim, I don't have the funds. Is there a part of me that's holding out, too scared to include something on to my list? Why do I have to be crystal clear to get a part-time job? And yes, I have several applications out. I'm excited about what I want. What else? Help, please. Love, Andrea. And here she is on the phone. How are you doing, Andrea?
I'm great. How are you?
So we kind of talked about a little bit earlier about what you were, that list that you keep reading every day is notice that when you're reading that list, the focus is not on having it. The focus is on, it's still not here yet.
Okay.
Have you noticed that?
Oh.
Like, you're reading it, and I want this, I want this, I want this. I got it. I'm feeling what it feels like. But there's what I'm hearing is there's an underlying thing that says, but it's still not here yet. Where'd it go? Where is it? So okay. The recommendation is that. Is that you move into the industry or the area that you want to work in. It's almost like they're giving me the example of the person who becomes a receptionist in a television studio and ends up on TV.
Okay.
So talk more about what you, because I don't know if I just answered your question or not. So what's hanging out here?
What's hanging out?
Yeah, in other words, like what part of that, of your question didn't get answered?
Well, you were saying that, and I wasn't aware that I'm feeling it's still not here yet. But there are moments that, and many moments, more so than I've ever experienced, that I'm really excited about getting something that I really want instead of getting something just to have it and being miserable in it. So I'm just not sure. I'm never sure what kind of signal I'm putting out there because I'm believing that, you know, well, these are the things I really want. So
what's popping into my head at the moment is what I was hearing in what you wrote, though, was that you said you don't know, it's kind of a feeling that you don't know if there's like a certain job title that fits all this stuff you want, and so you don't know if that's possible. So part of what you're holding is there's an idea there that this might not be possible because of you don't have like some title for it. Like it's not named. If you have to put this name to it to think that it's going to come to you.
Okay. You put my own name to it then?
I mean, well, sure. Why not? Why not create the, or just let it go with that it's the job that's, you know, most in alignment for you. That would be your perfect job that you would feel the most joy in. As opposed to having to fit into someone else's category of, you know, that it's supposed to be called this or it's supposed to look like this or it's supposed to look like this. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense.
Well, the other thing is that you made the comment that you don't want to get another kind of job that you'll hate. Why do you assume that if you don't get this, you will hate something else?
Um, Well, it's just past history because almost.
I can't hear you. What'd you say?
It's past history.
Yeah.
It's just that I've experienced so much dissatisfaction with most of the jobs I've ever had, and even if I liked them for the first month or two, it just turned into something that was just listless. I was there and not doing anything with a purpose, and not satisfied. No self-satisfaction.
So, but from what if from this moment on it could be different? What would that be like?
Right.
What would it be like if you're not limited by those past experiences, thinking that that has to happen again? What if it could show up totally different?
Well, that's what I was thinking. That's why I would have this excitement when I would read my list. That's why I felt like I was feeling excited, because what I wrote was, you know, I'm actually my own boss, or I have very limited supervision. And I feel satisfied. I feel like I'm really producing something and making a difference for other people as well as myself. And that's why I thought I felt those feelings, you know, very excited, because I've never felt really excited about any job. So the thought that actually that it could be there and put in some of the things that I've ever wanted, like being really creative, writing my own programs of behavior modification or something to that effect, and you know, just really having hands-on things to do with helping others. That's what I was feeling. I felt excitement over. So that's why I'm baffled as to, you know, well, then what's not clear? How could I get more clear if I feel excited when I've never felt excited? And it's not even here.
The issue though is now you want a job in creating behavior modification programs for people. Is that it?
Oh, that's just a part of it.
Yeah,
that's just a small part.
You have like degrees and stuff like that, and so that's not an issue, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so the idea here is that. But there, well, what I'm hearing, okay, is that, and I'm laughing because of the way they're putting it, is you have to expand your box. Yeah, because in looking at what you want, you've got it in such a box that what you want to do is expand it to be that and or something greater.
Okay, so, well, I'm not quite sure how what's meant by expanding, you know.
But the idea is that it's really important to be specific, but the idea here is it's really about allowing the universe to bring it to you in a way that's creative. Could in fact be that if you were working in that industry, or that industry is the best way to explain it, I guess, and you were networking with the right people because you had that information, you would have that ability to network with the people that you could bring your proposal to.
Andrew, what she's saying is that you've pinpointed all these things, and that's great, but it's like you're saying that it has to fill specifically all of this, but what if it would be even more than that, or what if it would be something else that you would like that it could show up as, that you're not even aware of now? Does that make sense? So if you were to say, if you would say you would like these things, but you would like this or something greater is now manifesting in my life. Well, that means, blessing be, that's like amen to this, what I just said.